Please be seated. Last year, on December 31st, many of us were quite relieved to put behind us the horrible year of 2016. Unfortunately, our worst fears about 2017 seem to be becoming reality. Families are being destroyed by random and heartless immigration enforcement. National lands are being sold off to the highest bidder. Climate change is being denied even as parts of the nation get either scorched or drenched. Puerto Rico continues to suffer the indignity of not really being a part of the United States. Gun violence continues unabated. Racist rhetoric has emboldened white supremacists. Into this cauldron drop the disclosures about the pandemic of harassment and abuse by men of women. Notice how carefully I said that. The pandemic of abuse by men of women. We can no longer deny its pervasiveness or its cultural acceptability. My own life experiences made the disclosures unsurprising. Nonetheless, they've been hugely disheartening. I expect that many of you feel the same. Yesterday morning broke with the news that the Senate tax bill passed overnight. Unfortunately, it wasn't just a bad dream. The uphill gush of money from the poor to the rich is about to be accelerated by a tax pump more powerful than anything we had ever imagined. Justifying it requires an appalling level of prevarication and hypocrisy. For the lawmakers who identify as Christians, and that's most, if not all, of those who voted for that tax bill, it is a sinful sellout to the forces of evil. In times like this, we must remember that we too are vulnerable to those forces. Evil surrounds its would-be foes with darkness, through which it lures them on a descent to the shores of the river Styx. With the false inevitability of Hades visible just beyond, evil tempts them into inertia and despair. In the face of such temptation, we must remind one another of this. Course-correcting resistance requires only a single true and unfailing glimmer of light. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. As the book An Episcopal Dictionary of the Church describes it, Advent is the first season of the church year, beginning with the fourth Sunday before Christmas and continuing through the day before Christmas. The name is derived from a Latin word for coming. The season is a time of preparation and expectation for the coming of our Lord's Nativity and for the final coming of Christ in power and glory. With Jesus as the light of the world, we commonly describe Advent metaphorically as the season of the coming of light into the darkness. So let's consider the idea that today is the first day of the new church year. One might suppose that the church year should start on Christmas with the birth of Jesus. If the church year started on Christmas, we could skip the hard part and head right to the fun. But that's not what we do. Instead, we begin at a point that is much more complex, much more nuanced. We start with a young woman, a teenager, who is 8 months pregnant. She's a teenager, 8 months pregnant, traveling the countryside on a donkey, accompanied by a man who has taken pity on her. If we were living in first century Palestine, there would be nothing unusual about that woman's age, because it would be typical for a marriage and first pregnancy. With rudimentary health care, every pregnancy would be a life-threatening danger to the mother. One can imagine that over the course of her pregnancy, any prospective mother's anticipatory joy would slowly yield to terrifying fear. A teen pregnancy, while common, would be extra risky. And this young woman is trapped. Now, if that young woman lived today, most people would judge her harshly and call her irresponsible. After all, she is way too young to be pregnant. She isn't married, and she lacks the resources necessary to care for herself and her baby. And her boyfriend isn't even the baby's father. If she accesses free health care and other services, she hears complaints that taxpayers are footing the bill for her bad decisions, or that her boyfriend should get a better job, though no one can say where those jobs are. Then or now, it doesn't matter that the young woman had found herself in an impossible situation, or that her body had long been the target of men who aspired to use it for their own gratification, or that those very men ridiculed and disparaged her for their urges, whether her response to them was yes or no. To be fair, I should note that I'm conflating the Gospels to describe that young woman. The Gospel of Mark, which will be our primary Gospel source for the coming year, tells us nothing about the nativity of Jesus. It starts with John the Baptist in the wilderness. Still, we can assume that Jesus' human life on earth began inside his young human mother's body, and that's a very important observation. Back in the 1990s, feminist author and activist Gloria Steinem published an essay called "What If Freud Were Phyllis?" In the essay, Steinem satirically flips the narrative on Sigmund Freud. She imagines how his work would have been different if he had been a woman. One example pertinent to this sermon: an imaginary phenomenon called womb envy. Womb envy, by which a man's lack of a womb and his resulting inability to give birth give him an unconscious envy that drives him to compensatory behavior that is overly aggressive toward women. More than 20 years after Steinem wrote those words, we might wonder whether there really is something to them. Maybe womb envy can explain the behaviors explored through the revelations of hashtag MeToo. Now, today's reading from Mark is part of Jesus' response to a disciple who comments on the magnificence of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Jesus describes the temple's destruction and his own return as the Son of Man. Now, that reading from Mark is apocalyptic in nature. For Christians, apocalyptic is most associated with the book of Revelation, but it shows up in bits and pieces elsewhere in the New Testament and in the Hebrew Scriptures. We tend to think of apocalypse as a prediction of coming death and destruction. But it's both much less and both more than that. The Greek word apocalypse actually means an uncovering or a revealing, generally of societal injustice. Mark tells us to keep awake. It's that sort of uncovering and revealing that we must keep awake to. For the several recent Sundays, even though it wasn't yet Advent, that's also been the message from Matthew. We must be awake to societal injustice. I guess we needed to hear it more than once. Be ready. Do the right thing. Keep awake. This year, Advent seems especially well-timed. The events of our day might lead one to suppose that an apocalypse is happening right now, and that we are living through the revelation of the hard truths lying behind what previously had been impenetrable veneers. Deeply embedded racism, misogyny, and more are being uncovered in all their malice. As individuals of faith and as a community of faith, we have a role to play in these apocalyptic times. To paraphrase Paul in our reading from 1 Corinthians, we are not lacking in any spiritual gift as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for Christ to reveal Christ's self, And in the meantime, Christ reveals the injustice in our world. In the face of evil, we are witnesses to the truth. We are witnesses in the true sense as those who both see and testify. And when we face despair, we remember that the revolution of truth is ultimately for the good. Excuse me, the revelation of the truth is ultimately for the good. It is, in fact, a step of preparation for the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus has yet to return as the Son of Man, but he was already born of a woman. Yes, our Savior was once nourished in the belly of a pregnant teenager, a young woman who was entrusted and empowered to carry the light in the darkness. How unlikely was that? This Advent, join me in accompanying that young woman during her 9th month of pregnancy. She is our reminder that revelation is a necessary step, and that salvation and reconciliation and restoration will continue to arrive in the most unlikely times and in the most unlikely places. On this journey, let yourself know the darkness through which she travels. Even as you continue to follow the unfailing glimmer of light and truth that she carries. Through it all, keep awake and keep proclaiming through word and deed the advent of the real gospel of peace, justice, and prosperity.